Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Qi Zhi. Coming up in this edition, at least 9 people are dead in a magnitude 7.3 earthquake near Taiwan's east coast. The presidents of China and the United States have discussed ties over the phone and pledged to maintain communication. And seaborne aid for Gaza is going back to Cyprus after 7 international aid workers died in an Israeli strike. We begin in China. At least 9 people are dead and more than 800 others injured after a magnitude 7.3 earthquake struck off Taiwan's east coast on Wednesday morning. There have been several aftershocks. Local authorities in Taiwan have issued tsunami warnings. The quake rattled residents and knocked out power in some areas.
It was shaking very violently. All the motorcycles outside our house toppled over, so I quickly switched off the gas and the electrical source and opened the main door.
When I realized it was an earthquake, I quickly put on my clothes and shoes. Then I dragged the kid with me and ran down the stairs. I didn't bring anything else with me.
The earthquake toppled buildings in Hualien and forced trains to stop running in Taipei. Rescue operations are ongoing to save people trapped under the rubble. The government of Hualien has announced the suspension of schools and offices. Andy Lee describes the situation on the island and fills us in on the rescue efforts.
This earthquake happened in local time at around 07:58. I felt the shock in its entirety for 1 minute. And I'm in Taipei City. That is about 200 to 250 kilometers away from Hualien City of where the epicenter is. Now, books fell off my shelf. Things dropped off from the table. Now, in the city of Hualien, damages is very extensive. Buildings collapsed. The highway speedway in and out of Hualien City also collapsed. So search and rescue operation is ongoing right now. We have a golden 72 hours to rescue the possible people trapped inside, so we can only go in with our hands and shovels and not use heavy machinery. Many of the resources here in Taiwan are focusing on Hualien. However, there is one slight problem. Roads into Hualien, many of the segments have been cut off by landslides. The other cities in Taiwan, they are experiencing transportation being severely affected. For example, the MRT, Mass Rapid Transit System. Initially, during the main earthquake, it was shut down. Thereafter, service resumed. However, it would have to go very slowly. This same situation goes for Taiwan's high-speed train service as well.
That was Andy Lee in Taipei. People on the Chinese mainland also felt the tremor that jolted waters near Taiwan. It affected coastal regions including Fujian, Guangdong and Shanghai. Railway authorities have suspended or postponed some train services in those areas. Wu Bing reports from Shanghai.
Multiple provinces and cities in southeast and even central part of China have felt the tremor of the earth. Well, here in Shanghai and the Yangtze River Delta, many people have felt the buildings mildly shaking, especially for those living in higher floors. And in southern province of Fujian, people there have experienced a stronger tremor because it's the closest province in the Chinese mainland to Taiwan. And some early warning apps said that the tremor in coastal region of Fujian province is equal to a magnitude 4.0 earthquake. And because 8 o'clock in the morning is often a time for students to go to school and to start their first class, so we've also seen local media reports that many schools have evacuated students to outdoor spaces. And the earthquake's also influencing part of the Chinese mainland's railway networks. China's railway administration have temporarily suspended part of the trains. Those trains are mostly connected coastal provinces of Zhejiang, Fujian, and Guangdong province.
That was Wu Bing on the impact from an earthquake near Taiwan on the Chinese mainland. A spokesperson for the Taiwan Affairs Office of the State Council says the Chinese mainland is paying close attention to the earthquake in Taiwan and the development of the disaster. Zhu Fenglian says the mainland is willing to provide disaster relief assistance. The leaders of China and the United States say they have had a candid and constructive phone conversation and agreed to maintain communication. Chinese President Xi Jinping stressed the importance of exchanges, respect and cooperation. He highlighted peace and trust for developing bilateral ties. President Xi also reiterated China's stance on the Taiwan question and U.S. sanctions on Chinese enterprises. U.S. President Joe Biden reaffirmed Washington's commitment to the One China policy and pledged not to decouple. Liu Wei has details.
President Xi told his U.S. counterpart Joe Biden that China-U.S. ties are stabilizing. As officials from both sides act on leaders' agreements reached at their San Francisco meeting last November, President Xi underscored three overarching principles of China-U.S. ties. First, peace must be valued. The two sides should emphasize no conflict and no confrontation. Second, stability must be prioritized. The two countries should refrain from provoking incidents or crossing red lines. Third, credibility must be upheld. China and the U.S. should honor their commitments to each other with action and turn the San Francisco vision into reality. On the Taiwan question, Xi Jinping made it clear that China will not sit on its hands in the face of Taiwan independence separatist activities or of any external encouragement and support for it. He called on Washington to act on President Biden's commitment of not supporting Taiwan independence. On U.S. sanctions, President Xi noted a strain of measures adopted by the U.S. to suppress China's trade and technology development and its addition of more Chinese entities to its sanction lists. The president warned that this was not de-risking, but creating risks. He said the U.S. will always find China's door open when it seeks mutually beneficial cooperation. But China will never remain silent on any U.S. moves to deprive China of its legitimate rights to development. President Joe Biden reiterated that the United States does not seek a new Cold War or conflict with China, nor does it seek to change China's system. The U.S. also does not support Taiwan independence.
That was Liu Wei on the latest Chinese-U.S. leaders' interaction. In the Middle East, Cyprus says seaborne aid for Gaza that departed from its port is returning after seven workers of the World Central Kitchen were killed while delivering supplies. The charity group says it's pausing work in the Palestinian enclave after the attack on the vehicle convoy of the employees. Sam Mednick from the Associated Press has more.
The aid group, the World Central Kitchen, said it was suspending activities after seven of its aid workers were killed Monday evening while trying to bring aid into the north of Gaza. Now, six of these aid workers were foreigners. They were three British nationals, an Australian, a Polish national, a dual American-Canadian citizen, as well as a Palestinian. This was the second time that the aid group had brought assistance from Cyprus by sea into Gaza, trying to find an alternative route to bring much-needed aid into the Strip. The World Central Kitchen said that they were traveling in a three-car convoy, including two armored cars, and that while they had discussed this with Israel's military, they had coordinated this, the convoy was still struck. There has been international outrage since the incident. Let's listen to what the World Health Organization had to say.
This was an agreed mission with this team. It was deconflicted. Deconflicted means both sides know they're coming, both sides have agreed. The car was well marked. It was very clear. It was World Central Kitchen.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he acknowledged the attack and said it hit unintended innocent civilians and that Israel was going to do everything it could to ensure that this was not going to happen again.
Unfortunately, in the last day, there was a tragic case of our forces unintentionally hitting innocent people in the Gaza Strip. This happens in wartime. We are thoroughly looking into it and are in contact with the governments of the foreigners among the dead, and we'll do everything to ensure it doesn't happen again.
But the United Nations said this was not an isolated incident. Since the beginning of the war, it said that at least 200 aid workers have been killed inside of Gaza, three times the number in any one conflict in a year. Netanyahu is also facing pressure at home. This was the third day of protests in Jerusalem, part of the largest anti-government demonstrations since the war began. People are calling for him to resign. They're also calling for him to create a hostage deal to get the at least 100 hostages out of Gaza. families of the women hostages, including two of the freed women who were held hostage, they gave emotional talks in front of parliament. They particularly said they were worried about the women still being held, that they were facing sexual assault. Netanyahu is also facing pressure from the ultra-Orthodox, who on Monday blocked a central highway and also held a human chain during rush hour. This came after the Supreme Court banned subsidies for the ultra-Orthodox who were not going into the army. But Netanyahu relies on this coalition. If he loses their support, he could be forced to have early elections, and he is not doing very well in the polls.
That was Associated Press correspondent Sam Mednick. Staying in the Middle East, a fire has killed at least 29 people in a nightclub in the Turkish city of Istanbul. The masquerade club, located in the basement of a high-rise building, had been closed for renovation when the incident happened. Authorities have issued arrest warrants for several people, including the nightclub manager. Mihail Balovit has more.
The devastating fire broke out at around 1 p.m. local time at the Gayrettepe district inside a nightclub named Masquerade. The club, located underground, was closed as it was undergoing renovation at the time. All of the victims are believed to be construction workers. The popular facility is massive. It can hold up to 4,000 people. It's been around for decades. It occupies two basement floors beneath a 16-story residential building. Reports indicate a small explosion occurred next to the stage. Firefighters and rescue workers responded quickly, evacuating and transporting the injured to nearby hospitals. Istanbul Mayor İmamoğlu said his office did not know about the repair work.
There is no application to the local municipality for renovation or construction regarding the place.
An investigation was launched immediately to determine the cause. By evening, six people were detained, including the business owner, two managers, and an individual responsible for the repair work.
That was Mihail Balovit in Istanbul. Now recapping today's headlines, at least nine people are dead in a magnitude 7.3 earthquake near Taiwan's east coast. The presidents of China and the United States have discussed ties over the phone and pledged to maintain communication. And seaborne aid for Gaza is going back to Cyprus after seven international aid workers were killed in an Israeli strike. And that's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We would welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Qi Zhi. Thank you for listening.